Okay, so I happened to take the Ollie Shore off the shelf because it was, you know, sitting there. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll have something interesting on Bichu Kotai. So I found two pieces that I both think are very interesting. So I'll show them, right, two ideas from him on Bichu Kotai. So the one, the first one is as follows. Throughout the Tochacha, God talks about either his soul not being tigal nafshi etchem, or being tigal, right? With either will not or will, right? What is tigal, right? Right, so it's something like hate, despise, something like that. But Volbe points out that Rashi says that kol gi'ila loshan plida davar habalua bidavar. That gila means to expel that which is absorbed into it. Now, you could have just taken that, well, that's the metaphor, right? If you hate something, you're like, right, you just want it out. But he notes that if you take it literally, right, or the metaphor literally, or seriously, as you take it, what that means is that She'am Yisrael balua be'elokut, that under normal circumstances, Bnei Yisrael has absorbed godliness, right? And therefore, in order to reject Bnei Yisrael, he would have to, right, at some level, expel that godliness from within them. So when he promises that he won't fully do that, right, that af gam zot biyodam be'eretz oyveihem, lo ma'astim v'lo ge'altim, that after all of it, as much as tigal nafshi etchem, whatever, in the end of the day, even in galut, I will not lo ge'altim, what it's saying is that as much as God is upset, and he's even said as a galut, there's still godliness inside of us, and God won't force that out of us. And that's what that metaphor is getting at. And then he notes that this works with another Rashi in Ha'azinu, where where the pasuk there says that God will protect us, Yitzrenu Kishonino, he'll protect us like the black of the eye, of the pupil. I mean, Rashi there says, Hu ha-shachor sheba'ayin, shamor yotzei heimenu, it's the black of the eye, the pupil from which the light comes out. I'm Yisrael Kivyacho, Ishon Eino Yitbarach, Shema'or Elukuto Yotzei Hemenu El Ha'olam. It's as if that we are God's pupil from which godliness goes out into the world, right? So he knows that Rashi actually seems to have this consistent idea that godliness is somehow actually absorbed into our essence. So both in good situations and in bad situations, that's the organizing metaphor that we use. So that was the first point that I thought was fascinating. And the second one that I wanted to share, another metaphor that comes up a lot in Bichu Kotai is keri. Is imalach then imi bikeri. If you walk with me, bikeri. Now, keri can mean different things. In this case, it can either mean mikre, right? Like you walk with happenstance, or car, you're cold to me. Right? You're like, right, rather than having a warm relationship, you have a cold relationship. And then there's the very, very odd metaphor, which I've talked about in the past based on Reich Karmi's analysis of chamat keri, that God will punish us with chamat keri, which means something like, right, chema both means anger, but also means heat. Right, because anger. So chamat keri is sort of a weird formulation. It's something like, right, hot cold, or something like cold fury, something like that. I mean, I've talked about what that theologically might mean at different points. But what Revolvi says here is, why is walking with God bikeri so bad? Why is it so undermining? Like, what is it about that metaphor that is so undermining? So he notes that if you think about other metaphors that Chazal used to describe our relationship with God, the Mishnah Avot says, "Kol shechachmato mirubam mima'asav lema'u dome." What is someone who has more good deeds than wisdom? What is he compared to? Le'ilan shenafav mirubin v'sharashav muatin. someone who has a tree that has many branches but few roots. And therefore the wind can come and uproot it. And then the flip is anyone who has ma'asab rubin mechachmato lema'odemes, if you have more good actions, so then you have a lot of roots, even if you have few branches, and therefore it can't be uprooted. So he notes, well, there's a lot of things that comes out of this metaphor, right? One is that good deeds ground us, but the goal is chokhmah, right? The same way with a tree, the goal is not the root. The root is what grounds it, what makes it possible, but the fruit are the telos, or the goal of the tree. So the Mishnah is saying that our good deeds are our roots, but really chokhmah is the goal, right? The end goal is chokhmah. That's one point. But for this purpose, what he notes is he adds and he says, well, why is that good deeds are the root? So he says that good deeds aren't just good deeds. That's the expression of bitachon, of trust in God, right? Now, trust in God can't be the end goal, right? It's what allows us to live a religious life, but it can be what grounds us, right? So that's the first point. But once he has this metaphor that religious life needs to be grounded like roots of a tree. So what's the opposite of a religious life?
A religious life?
But metaphorically is keri, is the idea of walking with God happenstance, right? Where you're not grounded, right? If the metaphor of a functioning religious life is one that is grounded, and therefore, even if it hasn't yet come to fruition, right, following the metaphor, it has the possibility because you've grounded yourself with bitachon. So then how would you describe not having bitachon, not having that basic faith that enables spiritual life? So the Mishnah takes it at one level, which is having a few roots. But even worse than a tree, which has a few roots, is one that is walking, and not just walking, but walking, right, bimikre, without a consistency, without a commitment. And therefore, right, he argues that, right, that that's what this metaphor is saying, is that the ultimate uprooting of spiritual life is not allowing ourselves to become grounded, is that even when we have a relationship with God, to the extent that we have it, it's bimikre, right, is that we avoid anchoring ourselves around avodat Hashem, and that's halachim imekeri, that sets in motion all the problems that come. That's his second point. And then the third point he made after saying this, I'll just read you a summary of it, is haragil b'maaseh tov chayav lamshich b'kviyut af im hu tzarech levatel pa'am achar ha'kviyut b'glal ezen yan shirishut ha'kviya machnisa oto l'mador miyuchad shal hashgacha el yona zeh alav chiyuv l'itnaig b'vidachon v'lo l'tchor d'var amgen l'dvar mitzvah tzarech l'alechit. He said, once you have that, we understand why the Gemara goes out of its way to talk about the importance of being ragil in mitzvot, right? Because that creates an obligation. He notes the Gemaras that talk about being ragil to come to Beit Knesset, right? Where the Gemara says that anyone who kol ragil avol Beit Knesset v'lo ba yom echad, anyone who normally comes to shul and then doesn't show up once, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashilvo, God asks about you, right? Now, you might have a legitimate reason, right? But what that says is that the ultimate goal of a religious life, or the definition of religious life, is when you get to the point where you are so grounded in what you do that not keeping the mitzvot is an aberration, right? God says, where are you, right? You're always here, right? And it also creates an obligation to maintain that consistency, unless there's extenuating circumstances where there's a mitzvah justification, whatever the case may be. But he takes these three ideas together, right? One is that Chazal describe a life of Torah and mitzvot as a tree being grounded. Two, that the ultimate undermining of that is halachlam imei bikeri, right? Because the opposite of being grounded is not being grounded at all, right? Is walking without any consistency. And therefore, that's why the Gemara talks about the most typical mitzvot, the most paradigmatic relationship to mitzvot, as being those that you do all the time, right? Because of that importance of, or because of that sort of organizing metaphor, that the ideal religious life, which one which is grounded and consistent, which makes the ultimate rejection of that life, v'alachlem imi b'keri, right, where we go, where our relationship with life is just happenstance, right? There is no commitment. So those were the two ideas that I wanted to share from Volvi on the Tochacha, which I thought were very nice.